नमः नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण कृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि घोर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सर्वं हि एतद् भगवान् वेद भूत भव्य भवत् प्रभुः करामलकवद् विश्वं विज्ञानावसतं तव यद्विज्ञानो यदाराहो यत्परस्त्वं यदात्मकः एकश्रीजसि भूतानि भूतैरेवात्ममायया. In these two verses, now Narada Muni is inquiring from his father, who is none other than Lord Brahma himself. Very often, we may mistake the exalted presence and stature of Lord Brahma. Because here, in the first verse, it is very clearly stated how powerful Brahmaji is. Brahmaji is holding the universe like one would hold a walnut. A walnut is very small. It is very easy to hold it. And once one holds the walnut, you know the walnut, so to speak. You know how you're holding it. You know the different parts of the walnut. It is firmly as Tota guides within your grip. So like that, Narada Muni now, he is glorifying actually his father Brahmaji. And before that, in the beginning parts of the verses, he had already started to ask about the symptoms of this manifest world. And now he goes on to ask from his father more details. So in this first verse that we are looking here, the important thing for us to understand is simply that actually, frankly speaking, Brahmaji is in such a great position that as it is stated in the verse, all that is in the past, all that is in the present, and all that is in the future is actually known to him. If that is the case, why is he not the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He should be. Anyone who knows the past, anyone who knows the present, anyone who knows the future must, by definition, be Krishna. But here it is very nicely stated. Prabhupada writes, actually, that Brahmaji knows the present, he knows the past, and he also knows the future. If you remember chapter 4 of text 5 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna brought up this point to Arjuna. Arjuna was told by Krishna just few verses before that long before I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to you, I actually instructed this to Vivaswan. So then Arjuna is alerted. Wait a minute, there is this time problem. Vivaswan lived millions of years ago, Krishna. You and I, you know, we are contemporaries. So how is it possible that you instructed this to Vivaswan such a long time ago? And Krishna said very nicely, you know, that many, many birds, I think it is Bahani Me, right? Bahani Me Vyatthani. So he says very nicely that many, many birds, both you and I have passed. That is true. But the difference is, I remember all of them, but you cannot. There is only one difference, but it is a very important difference between us and the Supreme Lord. That He can remember all that has happened. In other words, the Lord is supremely cognizant. He is conscious of all that was in the past, all that is in the present, and all that will happen in the future. Unfortunately, or maybe it is fortunate, that we don't know all that has happened in our previous births. One birth, one lifetime of nightmarish existence is enough. I just imagine, sometimes people ask, you know, why is it that Krishna has not given us the chance to know what was before? Then I will become a better person today. If I am suffering for things that I don't know today, constructively, how can I then improve myself? But we don't realize Krishna is extra merciful. Because if we know the nonsense, and if we know the sinful activities that we have done previously, to continue being here now, I think we will all not be able to sleep every day. We won't have appetite for prasadam. We'd all be morose and depressed. So we should stop asking that question, because frankly speaking, the question answers itself. Krishna will never give us something if it is not merciful. This point we should remember. But here again, that doesn't answer our question. How is it that Brahma can see the future? Maybe past he knows. Maybe because he has some experience. Maybe future, maybe present he must know, because he is creating the present. We have all lived in the past also, Prabhu Smatajis. In fact, very often we are haunted by the past. We don't live the past. And very often we live in the past. You know, we always think, oh, those were the good days. Or, you know, sometimes we are married for 30 years, we still think we are married for 1 year. Sometimes we are married for 30 years and we want to live as if we lived for 1 year. Like that, we are all living in the past, in the present, in the past, in the present. But future is very difficult. Who knows the future? That's why this question is nicely answered in the pages of Bhagavatam itself. It is found in the 3rd canto, 9th chapter, Brahma's prayers for creative energy. The word creative energy is used here also in the purports. And this is very true. Brahmaji's creative energy did not come out of the blue. It came as a result of thousands and thousands of years, human years, and 1,000 of Brahmaji's year of severe austerity and penance. And at the end of all his prayers to Krishna, right towards the end of that chapter, Brahmaji prays very nicely. At the end of it, he keeps quiet and he becomes silent, because he is waiting now for the response from his creator. And at that point of time, Krishna speaks. And Krishna says, Ma Veda Garbhagas Tandrim. 29, very important verse. Ma. Ma means no. Na means no. Ma means never. No, no, no. You know, it's a very strong no. So he calls Brahmaji, O depth of Vedic wisdom. Veda Garbha. So he says, Ma Veda Garbhagas Tandrim. He says, please, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about your work. This is the first point we must remember. That very often we take up a particular work and after a while we become so attached to it, thinking that we are the doers, that we become depressed and we become anxious. This affects all of us, whether we are in project department, finance department, legal department, engineering, project, it doesn't matter. Accounts, it doesn't matter. Anywhere. Every time these two things will strike us. Anxiety, moroseness, or depression. It happens. Even the housewives are not spared this. After a while, you know how difficult it is to continue as a homemaker. The husbands say, you know, we are the ones working very hard. But we don't realize that if we can't go out there in peace, the peace is being maintained at home. So everyone is prone to be anxious or depressed. But here, Brahmaji himself, the first living being, the first born being, is actually told very nicely by Krishna, be neither depressed nor anxious. He says, Sarga Vidyaman Avaha. He says, do not worry, do not be anxious, or do not be depressed. Why? We don't be depressed about the execution of creation, he says. Why? Because he says, Tanmaya Paditam Hi Agre. Agre means beginning. He says that, don't be worried, because this execution of creation that you are going to do, Yanmam, it is me, Prayate Bhavan. By my mercy, whatever that you are going to do, whatever that you are going to execute, please know one thing. It has already been granted to you before. What a nice point that Krishna is giving. And this answers us very easily. Why? Because Brahmaji is being told by Krishna in many chapters later, not chapters before, in many chapters later, that actually you don't be depressed about what you are about to create. Because whatever you are asking for now, please remember, it has already been granted to you before. Why before? Before meaning that Brahma existed before his birth also. In what position? As another Brahma maybe. One time, Brahmaji wanted to meet Krishna. So he went to see Krishna, you know. He went to Dwarka and he sat down. There was a waiting room, like consultation. And he sat down, he took his number and he waited, because Krishna is very busy. So while he was waiting, one of the associates of the Lord came forward and said, Brahmaji, just quick question now before I put you to the Lord. Which Brahma are you? So Brahmaji got a bit upset, you know. He said, I am the original living being, I am unborn, and you are asking me which Brahma I am. How can that be? He said, I think you got it wrong. You may ask which Shiva, or which Narada maybe, or anyone else, but not Brahma. Because I am not born from a mother, I am only born from my father. So then this associate said, you know, alright, it's okay. I just wanted to know, because you know, there are many, many, many more Brahmas who are in the second waiting room. Brahmaji said, how can there be more Brahmas than me? So he decided to go inside. And when he went inside, in the palace, very wonderfully seated was the Lord. And then he saw so many Brahmas. And his specialty was he was four-headed Brahma. But he saw 10-headed Brahmas. He saw 15-headed Brahmas. He saw 16-headed Brahmas. I don't know whether the heads go in multiples of, you know, even or odd. But I do know that Bhagavatam and Sastras even tell us there are 100-headed Brahmas and 1,000-headed Brahmas. So all of them were paying obeisances and dandavats to Krishna. And they were all giving their reports of material creation in their material universe, which was firmly in their grip like a walnut. So there are many walnuts. There are many grapes. But there is only one Krishna. So that's why this verse, 3929, sets everything in perspective. That actually, the real key in this verse is this. My dear father, all this is known to you scientifically, because whatever was created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, or whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within the universe. It is within the universe. Sometimes we don't read very carefully. That is careless devotional service. When we don't read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita carefully, it is a reflection of our carelessness. Why? Because we don't take the words seriously. We want to read and hear what we want to hear. Or we want to read what we want to see. When that happens, we find very often the reason for it, subtly, is because of our carelessness in not accepting Bhagavatam as supreme authority. Have you found instances where you are chanting one Sanskrit verse, for example, or one word, and you keep making the same mistake over and over and over? And it is there for you to see, but your eyes choose not to see them. And until you are alerted by the mercy of your spiritual master or some wonderful devotee that, Prabhu, look, it is long R, not short R, and you're saying it 20,000 times like that, then you realize that, why could I not see it? It was there, everyone can see, my sight could show me. It is the consciousness behind the sight that is troublesome. So this we have to be very careful. Within the universe is why Brahmaji is past, present, future, master. Because creation has already been done before. Annihilation has been done before. Maintenance has been done before. If you look at 3.10.13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is scriptural evidence for that. There is only two lines to this verse. It says, Yatha. It goes as, Yatha Dhanam. Yatha Dhanim Tatha Grecha. Prachat Api Etat Idrisham. And there, Shukadeva Goswami says very nicely, this cosmic manifestation, meaning this material universe that we see, as it is now, it was the same in the past, and it will continue in future to be the same way, in the same way. Right? It's very clear. this cosmic manifestation, as it was in the past, will continue in the future and will remain the same in the present in the same way. So we should not forget that whatever Brahmaji was going to create, he had already, as a different Brahma, created this. Or as a different personality who took the post of Brahma, created this. But what we must remember is this point, that when we understand the point of continuous action in the purport, past, present, future can only be understood by the Lord, because it is the Lord who says in 2.9.33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is the seed verse of all seed verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are chatushloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, just like there is chatushloka of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The first chatushloka of Srimad Bhagavad Gita says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattaha sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam mudabhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Right? Everything emanates from me. So, there is no contradiction now. We understand that even though Brahmaji knows the past, present, future, even though this universe, he is the engineer, but his engineer, the one who engineered Brahmaji to create this universe, is actually the source of all spiritual and material worlds. We should never forget that at any point of our lives. This is the reason and the only reason for our misery. When we forget who created us, when we forget who is the source of all things that are coming, be they spiritual or be they material. When we think of all spiritual things, we are very happy. When the material problems come, we don't realize, oh, this is where we are in difficulty. We don't realize, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu is very clear. The problems are also coming from the source, Krishna. So they are not really problems. Nothing that is coming from Krishna can be problematic. It's our attitude to the problem that's a problem. Not anyone else. The only problem created which is not created by Krishna is our problem. And that's our attitude. Attitude to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada writes in the preface or the introduction to the letter of instruction, is the key to progress in Krishna consciousness. If our attitude is correct, we will progress very nicely. If our attitude is lax, we will never be peaceful in Krishna consciousness. We will only be frustrated in Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni's mood, Brahmaji's mood are very nice. Though Brahmaji was so powerful a director, still, in his prayers, he has never forgotten who is the source. So in the same way, Brahmaji is told by Krishna himself in 2nd Canto, 9th chapter, 33rd verse, the first seed verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Aham evasam evagre, nanyat sat asat param, sat asat, that means truth and untrue. Paschat aham yat etacha yo avashishyetaso asmi aham. This verse we must remember. Why? Because Krishna says very nicely to Brahma, it is I who was ever existing before creation. Why do we have deities of Lord Krishna? Nobody has deity of Lord Brahmaji. We respect Brahmaji so much. The only place dedicated to Brahma in the whole entire universe is actually in Pushkar. There is no other place. In Ajmer, if you go, the temple of Pushkar, that is where Brahmaji is exalted. Everywhere else, Brahmaji is glorifying Krishna. This is the point we must understand. Of course, in Lakshmi member, you see Brahmaji. Lakshmi member Brahmaji is there. But Brahmaji is always subordinate to the wishes of the Lord. Because he is the one who accepted this instruction first. So how can you forget this instruction? Chatushloka was spoken from Krishna to Brahma. Let us not forget that. So Krishna says, it is I who was existing before creation, when nothing but myself existed. And it is I only that you see now, who is continuing to maintain this universe, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I. So then how can Brahmaji see the future? On two levels. One, because whatever cosmic manifestation that Brahmaji has to create is on a winning formula already given by the Lord. All Brahmaji has to become is Nimitra Matra Bhavya Savya Sachin. Because Krishna has Maya Evaite Nihata Purva Evam. He has decided how to create. He has set all the mechanism in place. We as Brahmaji is showing us just have to be instruments in the hands of the Lord. This point in 11:33 of Bhagavad Gita is extremely relevant to us even now. So this we should not forget. That is on one level of the future. The second level of the future is that by the mercy of the Lord, if the Lord wants His devotee to see the future, to know the past and to work in the present, He can give him the eye, which is known as Trikalyajna. Three eyes to see the past, present and future. Only Krishna has that capacity to give that. That's why Prabhupada, you know, was asked one time, do you know, a pure devotee should know everything. He's as good as God. So some of the disciples were asking Prabhupada, you know, that is it possible that Prabhupada must know everything that we are thinking? So one time some disciples came up to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you are considered pure devotee, you are as good as God. So now tell us, what is it you are thinking right now? You know, sometimes we think this way, you know, someone must know exactly, tell me what are my thoughts now. And if he tells us our thoughts, we'll tell him, no, I'm thinking something else. Like that. The devotees, you know, they were mildly, maybe lovingly, but foolishly, they were trying to challenge Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told them this very important point we must remember. He said that, I may be as good as God, but the spiritual master is never God. God is God. But if Krishna wants me to know something, then by His mercy I will know. But if Krishna doesn't want me to know something, then by His mercy I will not know. So Prabhupada made everything proper in context. Brahmaji is in the same category because he is also part of parampara. He is the first in the paramparic succession. Therefore he is teaching us actually here through his humility, which will come in the next few verses, and through Narada's inquiry, that even though this material universe appears to be in the walnut grip of the Creator, this Creator is subordinate to the Supreme Creator, who is Krishna. The other point we should remember in this particular verse is in the purport. Prabhupada writes a very important statement. He says here, these three principal items, namely the living being, the phenomenal world and the controller, are all in continuous action, past, present and future. This past, present and future is on the platform of what we call time. Time. And we must not forget that time exists only in the material world. There is no concept of time in the spiritual world. That's why when Brahmaji's creation is spoken of, it is spoken of in the context of time. When Lord's creation is spoken about, when Lord's superior creation is spoken about, it is never spoken in the spiritual world in the context of time. Nobody will ask the question, how long will the spiritual world last? Because it is eternal. You know, how old now is Yashoda Mata? You know, 1 million years ago, maybe now when she had the pastime, she must be nearing 90-something, 100, 200. Nobody asked that question. Nobody asks. Nobody even thinks about it. Because subconsciously we know that time is manifested in this world. So we should not forget that if we want to come out of time, we must be touched by the spirit and not the matter. If we are linked to the spiritual world, then we are out of the influence of time. If we are not, then this time, which is an interaction of the modes of material nature, will always put past, present and future before us. For a devotee, the past is a dream. It is finished. The future is imagination. We don't know what will happen next. The only thing that matters to a devotee is eternally present, now. What are we doing about our Krishna consciousness now? Now it's gone back already. Isn't it? Now we just spoke about now it's finished. Now again I said now it's finished. Now. Now never exists. If you think that way, now never exists. So, let us not waste time. In Krishna consciousness, please, we should ask ourselves now. See, it's gone. Now, what are we doing about Krishna consciousness? Because if we look forward and say, tomorrow Prabhu, I'll become a better devotee. Or as sometimes I've narrated to you this, you know, of how this devotee told me, Prabhu, I plan my life in such a way that in this life I will achieve 4 rounds. Next life, another 4 rounds. Third life after that, 4 rounds. And the last of the 4 lives, 4 rounds. Then in 4 lives I can achieve 16 rounds. And he was very serious about it. We don't know where we will be in the next minute. How to know where we will be in the next life? We don't know. We don't know. So now is now. Don't be haunted by the past. Don't waste your time in the future. What are we going to do about our lives now? This is the key for us to learn. If we don't understand that from the Creator and Narada Muni, we have missed the point. This continuous action is for us to come out of, to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, which is eternal, despite the fact that we are in material creation. Now you look at the next verse. In the next verse, this point is answered very nicely. In the next verse, Krishna has already clarified. No, Narada Muni has clarified. He's asking 4 or 5 questions to Lord Brahma. And in all these questions, he's putting forward to us one important fact that runs through the purport. And that is the point that Brahmaji is so expert in creating. It's not easy, Prabhu. You just think, you know, you just try making a paper aeroplane. Try. You know, just try creating any of these materials that you see. We buy this, we put this here, and all credit comes to us. We buy this, put this here, if we are a bit humble, we say someone made something very beautiful. If someone is very smart and very wonderful, if somebody sings very nicely, Kirtan, we say he sings so wonderfully. But what we should be really asking, Acharya say, is that how wondrous is the person who made this person's voice? If someone has a great brain like Brahmaji, it's mind-boggling how he created. Remember after this, he sucked in the wind, drew in the water. In third canto, tenth chapter, he drew in the water, he sucked in the wind, so that the universes could start floating. The planets could start floating. How is it possible? We can't even suck in our own breath. Drinking water, maybe 1-2 cups. It's inconceivable how Brahmaji has done this. And because of that, foolish observers say all this is fiction. It makes good comic reading, but that's about it. God doesn't exist. This is the same logic that people apply. If supposing we had no internet, we had no pictures, nothing. If someone told me thousands of miles away there's a president called Obama, I'll say, I've never seen him, therefore he doesn't exist. Isn't it? You never saw your grandfather, maybe. Does it mean he didn't exist? We don't know. And if you take it one step further, the situation becomes more ridiculous. Supposing there's a whole town full of people who have beards and moustache. Logically, in that town, there's no barber. What logic is that? Let it sink in for a while. What logic is that? Just because the men of the town decide to keep moustache and beard, doesn't mean there's no barber in the town. Maybe he's out of business. It doesn't mean he doesn't exist. So like that, we foolishly demean the powers given to us by Krishna. We forget that if Brahmaji's brain is so powerful, then Prabhu's Mataji's think. How much powerful Prabhupada writes in the purport should be the person who gave, who created this brain. Scientists are trying so hard to create everything, but they cannot create another brain. They can't. If they cut up the head and open up the skull, if they see the brain, you ask them to point out where the mind is, and they will just be a bit blur. Maybe the mind is here, maybe the mind is there. Mind can't even be seen. What to speak of the whole brain? What to speak of intelligence? What to speak of soul? What to speak of the creator behind the intelligence and the soul? How? How to find this out? So really, why Narada Muni is asking these questions is impliedly to glorify the creator who created his father. This is the reason of the reason. And we should not forget this point, that actually there is no one else above Krishna. This we should remember. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchit asti vadam jaya. This is very important, that above Krishna there is no one else. No one else. Why is this important to us, Prabhus and Matajis? Because very often when the good times are there, we accept, I am sarvasya prabhu, mattaha sarvam pravartate. That part is very easy. But when the bad times are there, that is when things get really bad, we start thinking, maybe I should wear a ring. Maybe I should get some stone because my graha is not good. Some astrologer told me that my time is not good. I have to go. Things are really bad, Prabhu. What do you think, you know? I think because things are so bad, right? Let us go and consult the astrologer. This is emergency situation, you know. Other times, Krishna consciousness may be relevant. But right now, it's emergency. Let's go and see an astrologer. Let's find out whether, you know, he can tell us something more about what is happening. How can he tell us more when he doesn't know what is his next minute? Whether he's going to die, whether he's going to live. How can he prove that to us? Is it not ridiculous that then we forget Mataha Parataram Nanya Kinchit Asti Dananjaya? At that point we forget. So we should not. The implication is when things go wrong, that is the time when we should dig in our heels and know that everything that's going wrong, the source of it is coming ultimately, the remote cause, as they call it in Bhagavatam, is Krishna. Primary cause is our rascaldom, no doubt. But even that he sanctions. So if our rascaldom is there, and we have no one else to turn to, and nowhere else to turn to, please turn to the Lord. Better in distress we are with Krishna, than in distress we are with friends, and astrologers, and grahas, and demigods, and after everything is finished, oh Krishna, it's so nice to see you again, you know. Mataha parataram nanyat. At that point, there is nothing beyond you, Krishna, really nothing beyond you, Krishna. No, this is sentiment, but it is not reality. So that is why Brahmaji may have been the most powerful being, but in this verse, now, Narada is asking these questions. First, my dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Second, under whose protection are you standing? Third, under whom are you working? Fourth, what is your real position? Fifth, do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? Now, if you turn all these five questions and ask these questions to yourselves, now you substitute Brahma and put yourself there. All these five questions that Narada has asked, all the principal questions of bhakti are actually revealed. See the first question. What is the source of our knowledge? The first answer we should have, Krishna is the source of all our knowledge. This is our basic point to start with. Second, who is protecting us while we stand? Paraphrase it. Who is protecting us while we stand? What a nice question Narada asks. Under whose protection are you standing, Father? He's asking. You know, he's creator. You have it in a walnut. But immediately after that, he asks the next question. But under whose protection you are? He was not foolish to think that his father could be standing on his own. He could see that father, behind father was supreme father. So the next question we ask is, first, always ask yourself in the beginning of your day, who is the source of my knowledge? Krishna. Second, ask yourself, under whose protection am I standing under? Only Krishna's protection, Prabhu's, Mataji's, only the pure devotees and Krishna's protection. Third, nice question, whom are we working under? This is another important question. When you go to work, you should ask this question. Who is our boss? You know, in other words, before you see the boss in your house, before you see the secondary boss, right, in your workplace and get irritated with him and lose all peace, you know, in your workplace, ask yourself this question. Whom are we working under? We are working under the supreme boss, who is Krishna. Or if you have spiritual masters, under our supreme boss, who is our supreme spiritual master, who will then report to the supreme boss, who is Krishna. This is another question we must ask. So first, where are we getting our knowledge? Second, who are we under as protection? Third, who are we working under as far as work is concerned? And fourth, nice question is, after asking all these questions, ask yourself, what is your real position? Who are we really? We are servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord. This is the other question to ask. And the final question is, very nice, are we performing these activities alone? Or are we performing them with our own capacity, our own personal energy? If that question is answered in the yes, we are in trouble. If that answer is given nicely by saying that we are working under Krishna's personal protection, Krishna's energy, then the answer to all five questions is unanimous. It is Krishna for all five questions. And if ever we want to put forward Krishna consciousness to anyone, just ask these five questions to the audience and answer these five questions, and whole Krishna consciousness is like a walnut. It becomes firm in the grip of the speaker and firm in the grip of the hearer. How nicely Nagamuni has put forward these statements, and it is for our benefit. The conclusion to the verse is very nice, to both verses. Brahmaji is supreme secondary creator. But why is he in such an exalted position, we should remember. He is in such an exalted position because he has received the mercy of Krishna. How did he receive the mercy of Krishna? He received it in the second canto, 9th chapter. He received it in the third canto, 9th chapter. He received it in Krishna Leela. And there is one Leela worth remembering, to remember how the mercy of the Lord is given to Brahmaji. I don't know how we can enact this as a drama, Prabhuji, one day. It's tricky, but it's interesting, you know. Just think about it. One time, you remember this pastime, it appears in Krishna book. Brahmaji, the principal creator of this secondary creation, he decided one day, you know, that he wanted to see how he could test Krishna. Testing means he actually thought, Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, that he was very powerful. So, after Krishna had killed off the demon Agasura, Krishna and the Gopas, they sat down for a nice meal by the side of the river. It was very quiet and peaceful, and the boys, after a hard day's work of almost being killed by the demon, they became hungry. They were always hungry, by the way, if you read pastimes of Krishna, appetite was very high. So Krishna could see that they were hungry, so immediately he arranged for nice prasadam to come. And they all sat and they were discussing and talking about their exploits with Agasur. And they were all glorifying Krishna and remembering how powerful Krishna was to save them. And at that point of time, as they were having nice prasadam, the calves that they were having, that they were tending to, they started drifting, you know. They were taking the grass and eventually they drifted away. As they drifted away further and further, the boys became anxious for the calves because they were supposed to bring them back to Vrindavan, bring them back to their fathers. But Krishna saw and he said, don't worry, they will be alright, you carry on with prasadam. After a while, calves never came back. Boys became anxious. So Krishna said, you wait here, I will go and find the calves. When he went to find the calves, he found, hey, calves are missing. No sign of the calves. Where are they? When he came back to alert the boys and found, huh? Boys are also missing. Where are the boys and where are the calves? I don't know. But Krishna knows everything. He is Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. He knows past, present, future. And then he could understand that Brahmaji at that time had come. Brahmaji had seen and had heard about the wonderful pastime of Agasur. And he was thinking, is Krishna so powerful? Who is this Krishna? He knew, of course, at one point that Krishna is the supreme creator. But we are all constantly bewildered by Krishna. Nahi asyat karhichi rajan, veda puman vidit sitam. Right? Yad vijitnasaya yuktaha, muyanti kavayantihi. Bhishmadev himself instructs Yudhishthira Maharaj in Bhagavatam, I think it's 1915 or 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam, that even the great philosophers and sages who are trying for thousands and thousands of years to know Krishna, they are bewildered. They don't know his plan. So how can we know his plan? So Brahmaji also became bewildered for a moment and he thought that, let me see how Krishna is. Let me hide and see what is the repercussions to this. So Brahmaji was exhibiting what we may call transcendental mischief. At that point of time, because of his mischief, he thought, I have caught Krishna today. I took the calves and hid them in the caves. Now when Krishna went there, hide and seek. I came here, I caught all the boys, and with my energy, not easy to transfer very strong gopas and hide them in a cave. If you think about it, it requires great stamina and skill, you know. But Brahmaji did it, and he put them all away. And Krishna was not bewildered. Krishna could have become bewildered. He could have said, Brahma, release them. He didn't. He did not. He just, what we call in common parlance, he acted blur. Why? He was completely unfazed. Because he is the Supreme Lord. He knew what happened. So immediately, from himself, he expanded himself to become each and every one of the Lord's calves. And each and every one of the Lord's boys. Can you imagine? For those of you who know Peter Pan when we grew up, the lost boys, you know, were also a group of boys always running around with Peter Pan. And now the boys were really lost. But Krishna was not bothered. From his Vishnu Tattva, he expanded. Each calf became a form of him. They were non-different from Krishna. Bhagavatam says they were Vishnu Tattva. And by expanding the calves, himself as calves, and expanding himself as the boys, Krishna then proceeded to go home in the evening. Like nothing happened. And when he reached home, all the residents of Vrindavan, you know, the boys' mothers, they all traditionally would come and they would greet the boys. They would hug them out of affection. They would smell their heads. They would then give them bath and give them nice prasadam. The cows who were waiting, the mother cows, you know, who were waiting for their baby calves, they will greet them lovingly and give them milk also. So on that day it was no different, except Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, on that day when the boys were hugged and embraced by their mothers and fathers, the affection within the hearts of the mothers and fathers increased so much more, double fold, triple fold, hundred fold. And Bhagavatam says the mothers, they immediately, their love for the boys was so strong that immediately milk came from their breasts as if it was spontaneous, and they gave this milk very lovingly to their children. And they were all thinking in their heads, how come today I'm feeling so loving, you know, so much love? Why is that possible? Why? Same boys, the mothers, calves, the cows, you know, their udders were flowing, overflowing with milk, and they also were thinking, same calves, what is wrong, you know? Of course in cow language they were talking, you know, why is this happening, you know? And Prabhupada writes that every Vrindavan resident secretly always desired to serve Krishna. They had their own children, no doubt. No doubt. But in their hearts of hearts, every mother who was born in Vrindavan, every devotee, they wanted to give Krishna milk. It was their love for Krishna. And they always thought Yashoda Mata has the highest of all benedictions. But Krishna fulfilled everything in their hearts, and they had not a clue that he was fulfilling it. They were clueless about him fulfilling it. How did he do this? He did this in this pastime. It appeared as if Brahmaji was going to throw a spanner in the works of Krishna. But Krishna used this pastime of Brahma to make it into his transcendental pastime, to reciprocate with the residents of Vrindavan and forget about Krishna, forget about Brahma. You know, the longer you ignore a child's tantrums or the child's efforts to get attention, the more anxious the child becomes. Have you noticed? I think we all did this at some point of our lives. Sometimes I suspect even as adults we keep doing this with our wives, with our loved ones, you know. Sometimes we just try and make it difficult, you know, for someone. This is exchange, but it's all coming in good faith from Krishna. But here, Krishna reciprocated lovingly, unreservedly, by giving himself. That night, none of the residents of Vrindavan realized, as they were putting their children to bed, as they gave them milk, that Krishna was being put to bed, that Krishna was given milk, and that they were given the greatest of service, to render devotional service directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And like that, 1 year passed. Krishna didn't give them this benediction just for one day and then take it away. One whole year in Vrindavan passed. Not human calculation, Vrindavan calculation. So I don't even know how to calculate that actually. Brahmaji's I can. In Brahmaji it was a moment. Brahmaji took a moment. Brahmaji's lifespan is 4,300,000 times 1,000. You work out the figures. But it is a long, long time. In that time, he took a moment. So 1 year of his calculation, if I'm not wrong, actually 1 year, this moment is a long time for us. He went away and he thought, let's wait and see. Krishna must be provoked. Krishna will come now and ask, Brahma, surrender the boys. Or he may, better still, who knows, he may come and say, where are the boys? Where are the calves? Give them back. Do you know who they are? Where they are? But Krishna never asked. He just totally ignored his employee. Didn't make a difference to him, you know. He just continued. So now Brahma began to feel a bit anxious. Why hasn't the Lord reciprocated? Why hasn't he moved around the universe looking for his... Something must have gone on. 1 year. Haven't they been missed? everywhere there must be all these signs, you know, notice of missing persons and missing calves. It must be all over Vrindavan. How come they're not around? How come Vrindavan is peaceful? So many calves, so many boys, surely there must be an uproar now. So he said, I better go back to Vrindavan and see what's happening. So he went back to Vrindavan, and when he saw, he could not believe it. Because there were the calves grazing, and he became bewildered now. Brahma thought, wait a minute, I thought the calves were all safe in the last time I checked, which was just before I came, they were all there safely in the cave. The boys were all safely in the cave. Of course, they're all well cared for, welfare is important, they're all fine, nothing is wrong, but how can they be here? And at that point of time, Prabhupada describes a wonderful incident. At that point in time, the cows were grazing on the hills, and the boys were tending to the calves. By now, 1 year had passed. The cows were not giving milk anymore to the calves because they had grown up, you know. And the boys also, they have become a bit bigger, you know. So not so much giving of milk and all. Now more solid food was being given. But suddenly at that point of time, the calves, as they came to their mother, the mothers again felt a rush of devotional ecstasy, literally devotional ecstasy for their loved, beloved calves. And Bhagavatam writes that the men who were down, they could not understand what's happening to our cows. They are behaving very mysteriously. They are running to the calves and they are giving the calves so much extra milk. And then when the boys came running down, the men themselves began to behave strangely. Men are not normally prone to showing displays of affection openly. We try to be macho about these things, you know. We try not to show. We may cry, but it's inside. We may laugh, it's inside. We may be very upset, but, you know, we don't show it. I don't know why, but leave it. Anyway, the men in Vrindavan, they suddenly felt a surge of affection for their sons. They kissed them on their forehead. They kissed them on their head. They embraced them. They smelled their hair again. And all this bewildered Brahmaji even more. What's happening? Who are these people? Why so much love? What is happening? And at that point of time, Brahmaji saw with his eyes, because Krishna was there, he decided now better educate the secondary creator of the universe, who's boss. So what did he do? Immediately before Lord Brahma's eyes, every boy and every calf transformed mysteriously and magically into the four-handed form, Vishnu Tattva. And when he saw that, Brahmaji became totally bewildered. Totally bewildered. Immediately he went to the cave and he released all of them who were there. And he came before the Lord and he bowed before Krishna. And when he bowed before Krishna, in 10th canto, 14th chapter, some of the most famous prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam are found there. Because at that moment, Brahmaji's prayers are heartfelt. Brahmaji's mood is again the mood of 2-9, again the mood of 3-9, when he has realized the awesome power and the greatness of Krishna. So again he became very humble and then he chanted. There are so many prayers. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. This prayer is from there. Tatte nukampam sushami chamano. This prayer is also from there. So many prayers are there. But two prayers that are very important for us for the purpose of this discussion in terms of relevance is the prayer in 10, 14, 20 of Srimad Bhagavatam. No, 10, 14, 10, 10 verse, 10, 14, 30 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There, Brahmaji prays very nicely. Tatastumena tasabhu vibhago. Nata means Lord. So now he's accepting Krishna, that you are my Lord, you know. Tatastumena tasabhu vibhago. Bhave tvavarnan yatrahu vatishvasham. Ye naham eko bhavat eko api bhavat jananan bhutva nishere padapada pallavam. Pada pallavam we know. It means lotus feet of the Lord. This prayer is very nice prayer for all of us to learn. Why? Because Brahmaji says in that prayer that, my dear Lord, I pray to be so fortunate in this life. This is real fortune, not money. I pray to be most fortunate in this life, that as Brahma or in another life, wherever I may be, in whatever species I may be born into, This is Brahma speaking. That somehow or another, I may be counted as one of your devotees. Just counted, no? Nothing else. He's saying, just count me at least. You know, just count me as one of your devotees. What a simple, humble prayer from an exalted personality. Then he says, I pray that wherever I may be, even amongst the animal species, I pray that I can engage always in devotional service at your lotus feet. This should be our prayer. If we really want to learn from Mahajans and great acharyas like Brahmaji, then we should learn this prayer. That Krishna is our Nath, he is Bhuvi Bhago. Bhuvi Bhago means he is the person who has full mercy to give us the shade of his lotus, Pada Pallava Pallavam, his lotus feet. So we should always pray that it doesn't matter what designation we have, it doesn't matter where we are, it doesn't matter in what status of life we are in. But the point is, we must pass the past, present and future and start now in rendering devotional service to Krishna. If we don't do that, then we are at a loss. So Brahmaji became very humble when he saw that obviously Lord Krishna's powers far exceeded his powers. He came to his senses immediately. And we also must remember this. Sometimes out of our own endeavors, we try to find the solutions to our lives. But we don't realize that whatever solutions we do, they cannot help us in this material life, not even in the spiritual life. Dukkhausharam tadapi dukkham atadhyayam. The only material solutions that are given in this material world are the fact that they become bigger than the problems that are given in this material world. Why for to run after the problems and to add to them? So every time we are in difficulty or we are bewildered, don't turn anywhere else. Mattaha parataram nanyat. Always remember, na anyat. Nothing is above Krishna. Nothing is, everything is below Krishna. It is only up to Krishna that we need to know. We don't need to know anything else. Beyond that, there's nothing. And whatever that Prabhupada has given is sufficient. He is our Acharya. What else is there to go anywhere else? We may have so many uncles, but we all only have one father. Isn't it? We don't go around, we don't come to our father and say, you know what, I'm going to listen to uncle because he's better than you. Then what's the value of father? We respect all our uncles, but to us, father is greatest. At the same time, I don't go up to Gopalak Prabhu and say, you know something, Prabhu, my father is better than yours. Oh, his father is Chandrasekhar Prabhu. That's a bit dangerous. So if I were to say that, then I'm foolish. Because to me, my father may be great. But at the same time, we don't disrespect other fathers. So for us, Prabhupada is all in all. Whatever he is given is directly coming from Krishna, from Brahma, from Narada. What need is there for us to speculate or to change? Brahmaji gave us a glimpse of what happens if we test the personality of Godhead. We will be the ones who become bewildered. We cannot accept that everything is coming from Krishna, as Brahmaji by example was showing us. Then what will happen to us is that we will come into years and years of bewilderment. We must avoid this bewilderment. This is the point for us to remember. And the last prayer that I really like, I forget the Sanskrit, but I really like the moving prayer of Lord Brahma, because he puts forward an argument to Krishna that Krishna cannot refute. Jiva Goswami says Krishna cannot refute this argument. Brahmaji says, now I have really offended you. It is my mistake. I thought I was greater than you. One year I thought you would be caught off guard. You would be exposed to the residents of Vrindavan. How to account for so many calves and boys. But I didn't realize for 1 year you have shown me what I am not. So please, don't get angry with me now. Now Brahmaji is afraid that, you know, Krishna will get angry with him. So Brahmaji says, does a mother take offense when her child within her womb kicks her? Does the mother take offense when the child gives a kick? Actually, mothers, when you get a kick from the child inside, your usual response is, Hari Bol, he's alive, and kick him. We get very happy. You know, mothers tell fathers, hey, I just felt him now, and I felt him here. Of course, there's a lot of pain, no doubt. But the mother, the kicks from within the womb of a child, is a reciprocation between mother and child. Mother soothes the child when he kicks. Mother doesn't kick the child back. Doesn't kick the child back. So this point is very important. And Brahmaji says, now, is there anything in this existence, Krishna,
that is outside your womb. Nothing is outside your womb, isn't it? By the way, this is what I've come to learn after taking the cows and the calves and the boys. I've learned nothing is outside of you. Aham sarvasya prabhu. Now nothing is outside you. So if I kicked you accidentally, Krishna, don't get angry with me. Such a nice argument, you know. I'm sure we are allowed to put this argument before Krishna, coming from acharyas. The next time, you know, if you think that all these difficulties you are encountering is because of bad things happening, and if you think you have incurred Krishna's wrath, then just come to Krishna lovingly. Please be sincere about this prayer. Don't misuse the prayer. The prayer is meant to be loving, not to be misused. And say, Krishna, just like a father, a kind mother, your mother, right, will excuse the child from within when he gives the kicks inadvertently. Please excuse my offenses. And please always keep me under your shelter. Whose shelter are you under, Father? This is the question and this is the answer. This is the answer. So we should end by remembering this very nice prayer by Kulashekar Alva. In Mukunda Mala Stotra, you know, Kulashekar Alva, I think it's the 14th Stotra. He tells us the greatness of Krishna. If we remember the greatness of Krishna, then all the questions put forward by Narada Muni and all the exalted position which is implied in the first verse here by the power of Brahmaji and the creator behind Brahmaji, they become very fixed in our hearts. Prithvi renuranur payamsi kanikah falgus pulingo nagus tejo nishwasanam marutanitaram rangam sushukshmam nabihi shudra rudra pita mahaprabhutah kita samasta surah drishte yatra satarako vijayate shri pada duli kanah. This is really nice verse to remember. Here Kulashekar Alva is saying, Krishna, Prithvi, this whole earth is so big, so vast. Brahmaji created 14 planetary systems, middle, upper, below, and all in the lotus stem of his flower, the lotus flower, lotus stem. And one only, that's only one Brahma. That's one material universe. Millions of universes are coming out just by Karanodakashayi Vishnu breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. It is as irrelevant as us breathing in and out. So many universes. This earth is so big, we can't even perceive the largeness of this earth. Yet Kulashekar Alva says, this earth in front of you is like a speck of dust. Speck, like a particle, you know. Not even a big particle, but a speck of dust. That is what this earth is. Then he says, these oceans, how big and vast our oceans are. We can't even go down to the depths, you know. Just in a swimming pool, we feel we are already in so much water. Just think how it is in the ocean. And we don't know what is in the ocean even now. We don't know how many miles deep the ocean is. What about the causal ocean? How deep that must be? How about the ocean that is going to devastate this world at Pralaya? How deep that ocean is? That ocean covers the highest peaks of the Himalayas. Can you imagine? And we think the tsunami is big. Imagine, tsunami at the most, our overhead bridge, 4.5 meters. Every time I pass 4.5, I realize this is the size of tsunami. It's very big already, you know. Can you imagine a wall of water coming at 4.5 meters? We are finished. Imagine how in the 12th canto, Krishna showed the devastating powers. To who? Who was that Rishi? Markandeya Muni. And at that point, the seas reached the peaks and went above the peaks of the Himalayas. Where will we be, Prabhu said, Matas? And all these oceans, Kulashekar Alva says, in front of us, in front of the Lord, they appear as droplets. Not drops, but droplets. How are droplets? Droplets are smaller than drops, you know, just like spray in front of Krishna. Then fire, the fire of devastation that will be released by Anantasesh, right?
They will be released secondarily by Lord Rudra, Lord Shiva. They will burn. That fire is meant to be almost 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 degrees of normal temperature that we know it as. It will burn everything within a second or two to ashes. And that fire of devastation, Krishna, in front of Krishna, Krishna says, is like a minute spark. Just a spark. It just comes for a while when you light matches and then just goes. It is like that. Then, very nice is this, Nabihi, you know, this winds, before Nabihi, this Nishvaswanam is very nice word in Sanskrit. Because Nishvaswanam literally means, sigh, like a breath, you know. All the great winds of the world, all these typhoons, right? You know, all these typhoons, you've been hearing this hurricane, Katrina, typhoon. Have you noticed how ironic, or not ironically, have you noticed how interesting all typhoons and hurricanes are named after Matajis? Yeah? I leave you to think about the implications. But coming back now, all these typhoons and hurricanes, you know, which are so powerful, which can wreak havoc all over the world, right? In front of Krishna, Kulashekhar Alva says, they are just like Marut Nishwaswanam, just like a faint sigh. That's all. In front of Krishna, just like a faint sigh, nothing. And this vast expanse of sky that you can't see from end to end is nothing but a tiny dot, like your navel, like the navel of the Lord, Nabihi. It is just like a navel, a tiny dot, a tiny dot. Shudra, Rudra, Pitamaha, Prabhutaha. Right? Brahma, Vishnu, these great demigods, in front of the Lord, they are actually insignificant. That is the word that is used. Because they are very tiny. They are all created by Krishna. Ishwaraha Paramakrishnaha Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Who can dispute this? No one can dispute this. Brahmaji spoke of this. Who can dispute this? So, demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they are nothing. Insignificant. Indra, Marut, Agni, the other smaller demigods, so to speak, they are described by Kulashekhar Alva as Kitaha, Samastaha, Suraha. That means they are nothing more than insects, like insects when they stand before Krishna. Very small, very small. So with all this, one, Krishna says at the end that it is not possible, Kulashekhar Alva prays now, one particle of dust from the Lord's feet now can conquer all these principles of creation. The earth, the fire, the wind, the water, the ether, all these principles of creation, they don't even come close to one particle of dust at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So Brahmaji's capacity to see past, present, future is finally at the mercy of the Lord. And Brahmaji himself knows that. That is why, I think in 2.6, it is 2.6. Na Bharati me, Anga Na Bharati me, right? Angam Visho Upalakshate. What is that? I forget. Navai Kochinne Manaso Mrisho Gatihi. Name Rishikani Patantiya Sadpate Yanne Hridau Kantavyata Drito Harihi. This is a very, very nice verse to remember. Brahmaji himself finally concludes all these prayers and tells Narada, whatever that I speak about has never come true, never come false. Whatever statement I make is always true. The progress of my mind is never deterred. I never become senile. Brahmaji, very old man, but never senile. The moment we 70, 80, there's always a chance I'll forget where I put this, where I put that, who is this, who is that. In fact, by the time we reach 30, 40s, we forget names of devotees. Happens to me now, you know. Can you imagine? Brahmaji, progress of his mind never deterred. Why? Because his senses never degrade into the temporary matter of existence. And all this is because of only one quality of Brahmaji. Yanme hridau kantavyata drito harihi. That I hold with great zeal the lotus feet of Hari, and I hold it very, very tightly. That is my only qualification. Prabhupada ends that purport, and we can end this discussion with one master line. And that line in that purport is simply this: a grain of devotion is more valuable than tons of faithlessness. A grain of devotion is more valuable than tons of faithfulness. We need only to have little bit of love for the devotee of the devotee of the devotee of the Lord. And that is enough. Bhaktai bhakta jana priyaha. That is enough for us to come under the shelter of Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Shri Gurudeva ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Can we have some realization, some questions, 2-3 minutes, and then we can start Damodar Leela. Sudarshan Prabhuji, anything to state, Prabhuji? I can't see you from here, that's why I'm asking you.
The fact is that devotees
Hare Krishna. The fact is that the devotees or someone who takes on the devotional service, they do not have any concept as to the magnanimity of Krishna, how he has been so merciful towards them, and what he is. And these verses actually give us a window to Krishna's opulence, Krishna's supreme stature, that we do not have. In fact, what to speak about Krishna's stature? If we close our mind, we close our eyes, and we think about 5 miles, how long is it going to be? We won't be able to conceive that. Is it from here to maybe Lakeside Station? Or is it from here to Jurong East Station? We don't know. Such is our capacity, our inability, and with that inability, we try to access. Krishna will be like this only. Krishna will be like that only. Or sometimes, no, he will understand. This sort of excuses and shortcomings of the living entity. So even if one has taken on to devotional service, then one should understand that the Lord has been supremely merciful, giving us the association of the devotees, giving us association of Guru, giving us the association of Himself in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So one has to actually understand His meekness, His small stature. I wouldn't say small, maybe insignificant stature. And then one will understand. Just like when Prabhu mentioned the particular verse that everything is within your womb. So the prayer should be very sincere, that if we put forth the same prayer, then we should be totally sincere in our heart, that we should actually cry and we should lament that actually I've committed so many offenses. I've kicked you so many times. So please forgive me. And that verse will actually take significance and it will actually bring forth some mercy. Hare Krishna.
If not, shall we start?